Now, I trust today that God will bless you in a real way as we begin to look into the precious, perfect, unadulterated Word of God. Amen. We'll take our Bible, please, when you find your place in the book of 1 Peter. In the book of 1 Peter, the first epistle of Peter. And we're going to study just a little bit. And I pray for this morning God will bless you by being at the house of the Lord. Amen. I'm sure He already has. If He hadn't, you've already got a problem. Amen. And I give God the glory and the praise for what He's already done in my heart and life and everything. Amen. I love going to the house of the Lord. So thank God for His goodness. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 2. 1 Peter, chapter number 2. I want us to read together. Let's stand and take your Bible. And in reverence to the reading of the Word of God, not in reverence to me, but in reverence to the reading of the Word of God, let's read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking." Now, we could preach about an hour and a half on that, but that's not our text. Ain't you glad? "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also are lively stones." While we're looking at this, the words "lively stones," they're mentioned several times, and then the word "precious" that we just mentioned in verse 4, look at the other times. "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." Go back to verse number 7. "And he said unto you, therefore, which believeth, he is precious." Amen. And I want to preach on this morning, "He is precious." And you can be seated. And let's pray. Father, give us wisdom. Give us understanding. I pray this morning, Lord, you'll enlighten our mind. Lord, open our heart to be receptive to the truth and to the Word of the living God. And I pray this morning, Lord, you'll rest any heart this morning that's outside the ark of safety, that's lost and undone, knows you not as their Savior. I pray this morning you speak to their precious heart. Lord, if there's one in our midst today that's out of the will of God, does not know the will of God, and Lord, is following you afar off as Peter did, I pray, Father, that you might speak to their precious heart. And may the Holy Ghost of God seek out them this morning. May they turn to you. We'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. Lord, it's in your precious name we pray. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. He is precious. Amen. I'm glad this morning that the Lord knows where I'm at. He knows who I am and where I'm going. Amen. He knows more about me than you know about me. Amen. And most of you know too much. Amen. And He knows more about me than I know about me. He knows the intents of my heart even before I think them. He knows my mind. There's nothing I've got hidden from the Lord. You haven't either. You may think you've got it swept under the rug. You may think everything's fine. But God knows, brother. He can pull the shade off. He can pull the cover off. Amen. God will lift the rug every once in a while and show us where we are. And He'll let our skeletons be seen and we'll be recognized for who we are. Now, thank God for His goodness. Now, somebody said, what are you doing? I'm looking at the Word of God this morning in a little phrase. It said in verse number 7, "Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious." Now, who's He precious to? Those that believe. Amen. Now, He's not precious to everybody. But He's precious to those who believe. When we look at the Word of God and we begin to go from Genesis to Revelation and we try to get the characters lined up in our mind, there will be two subjects that we'll think about when we get to the end of it. And this is what we'll say. We'll find out that the Bible is filled with sinners and it's filled with saints. That's what men have to think about. But when God looks at it and describes it to you and me, God says that there's nothing but sinners and a Savior. Amen. That's the only way we look. You said, where do we come in? We come in the sinner part. Amen. Somebody said, I'm not a sinner. I'm a saint. Amen. Well, pat yourself on the back. But I hope this morning God will help you to understand that you're nothing if you are a saint, so-called. You're a sinner saved by grace. If it was not and were not for the grace of God, you would still be lost in your sin and on your way to a devil's hell. Amen. But I want to look at some things here. Brother, we look at this. What is a saint? He's somebody that's been converted. You know who's been converted? Those who have come to the Lord and been saved by the grace of God. Amen. Turn directions. As a young boy, I remember this as a young man. I started preaching and I'd hear preachers say, hey, when I got saved, I done a complete turnaround. And I got saved. And I kept, and this is what they said. They said, I'd done a complete turnaround. When God saved me, I'd done a complete turnaround. Amen. And headed off. And I said, that ain't right. That ain't right. That's not what happened to me when I got saved. Brother, I done an about face. Brother, God saved me by His grace and I turned around and went in a different direction than I was going in before. And brother, that's what we are when we've been saved by God's grace. He is precious to save every man, woman, boy, and girl. Now, brother, I want to talk about a sinner just for a minute. We're sinners that have been converted. That's what saints are. Amen. If you've been saved this morning, you've been converted. What have you been converted from? The old paths of sin. You've been converted from the ways of the world. You've been converted from unrighteousness to righteousness. You've been brought from evil, brother, to goodness. You've been brought from the darkness to the light. You've been released from prison and set free by the grace of God. That's what it means to be converted. Amen. Now, sometimes you can be converted about some things and not be saved. But I'm talking about conversion in the part of being born again. That's what a saint is. Now, is a saint a converted person? But rather, he's a converted sinner. But he's one that's been justified. You said, what in the world does it mean to be justified? One day God's precious blood through His Son was applied to my heart. Forgive me of my sin. You see, it's the blood that washed away my sin. It wasn't my baptism. It wasn't my joining the church. It wasn't my good deeds or my good doings. No, sir. Brother, it was when I was about at the altar and asked God to save me, that He forgave me of my sin, and the blood was applied, and brother, the blood washed away my sin, and God said, now I look on you, and you're justified. You're a sinner on your way to hell, but my blood has justified you, and since you're justified, it's just as though you'd never committed sin. And when Christ looked on me this morning, He don't look on my sin, He looks on the blood. Amen. And it's the blood that I'm justified with. Amen. The Bible said we're justified by peace. We're justified by faith. We're justified by blood. Brother, we're justified. We're just as though we'd never committed sin. So a sinner is somebody that's been justified. Somebody that's been converted. He's also somebody that's been pardoned. Amen. You know what being pardoned is? If you're in prison, you got a sentence on you, and somebody pardons you, what they do is they give you a piece of paper and said, we forgive you this. You're relieved of it. You don't have to pay the price no more. And that's what happened, brother, one day when I called upon the Lord and He saved my soul. He gave me a pardon from on high. Brother, I've been released out of the prison cell of iniquity. Thank God I've been set free. I've been pardoned. That's what a saint is. Amen. I say He's precious. By doing such thing as that this morning. Well, let me tell you something. A sinner is somebody that's been a sinner, or a saint is somebody that's been not only justified and converted and somebody that's been pardoned, but he's also somebody this morning that's been adopted. Did you know I'm adopted? Amen. I've been adopted. I don't fit in the family of God personally. Amen. I was born in sin. I was shapen in iniquity. You said, well, you ought to have been born from my family. Amen. Your family is the same as mine. Amen. I was born in sin, shaping iniquity. Brother, I was brought in this world. I did not fit in the family of God. Neither did you fit in the family of God. But God, through Christ's blood, one day applied His blood and said, hey, I tell you what I'm going to do. You don't fit in the family, but I'm going to reach out and I'm going to adopt you. And I'm going to put you where you don't belong. And you're going to be mine from now on. And brother, I've been adopted in the family of God. Brother, I'm His and He's mine. And brother, He counts me as His own a child. And I say, oh, glory to God this morning. I have been adopted. Amen. No, I've been adopted, but He said I've been accepted. Amen. Sometimes people don't accept adopted children, but I tell you, at the throne of God, I have been accepted in the beloved. Amen. The Lord put me in a place, and He has accepted me. That's what we are. We're sinners saved by the grace of God. Sinners that have been adopted. Amen. By God. Not only we've been adopted, but we've been sanctified. Amen. Somebody said, what do you mean, preacher? I'm telling you this. God has taken us out of the family of the world, taken us out of the household of Satan. And brother, He's thrown the devil out and moved into our heart, made us His own, adopted us, and accepted us. And this morning He said, now I'm going to make you part of the family, and I'm going to use you, and you're one of my little choice servants this morning, and I'm going to sanctify you. Everybody that's been saved by the grace of God has been sanctified, set apart for the Master's use. Amen. You said, I'm a poor excuse. Well, admit that. Praise God. That'll help you along the trail. Amen. I get tired of these folks that think I'm pretty good. Ain't nothing wrong with me. Amen. I bragged on myself a few times. Every time I have, the Holy Spirit of God showed me I was wrong. There's nothing good in me. Nothing dwells in this flesh this morning that's any good or acceptable to God. Amen. The only thing that God likes about you and me is the blood that's been applied to our soul and washed us. Amen. And set us free. Now praise God, not only I've been sanctified, but a sinner this morning is somebody that's been saved. I asked a fellow one time, I said, you been saved? He said, saved from what? He didn't know what I was talking about. A lot of people don't know what you're talking about. You know, the Bible said, he that believeth, to him that believeth, he is precious. Amen. I got to hurry. I never get off this message this morning. I don't even get off the introduction, but I'm telling you about this. Brother, I'm glad that I've been saved. Saved means to be delivered. Saved means to be snatched out. Saved means to be preserved from an eternity of hell. Brother, I've not only been saved, but thank God this morning, a sinner is somebody that has been, a saint is somebody that has been not only saved, but been born again. Amen. Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Born again. What's that mean? Preacher, that mean you've been born twice? That's absolutely what it means. I was born one time in 1947 to the Dills family. Amen. What a blessing it must have been in 1947. Amen. I was the elder son, the oldest child. I was the firstborn. Surely they thought they had something for sure. Amen. But I'll tell you what. I would not have went to heaven like that. I was lost in the... Go back there and cut that air conditioner off. Amen. I want you to know this morning, brother, that one day I went to the house of God and I fell under conviction. The Holy Spirit showed me I was lost and He told me I needed something from God. He told me that I was on my way to hell and He convicted me that morning. I got up out of my seat, walked down the aisle, bowed in the altar, cried upon God, called upon God, said, God saved me, and He saved me. And that particular time, He birthed me the second time. I've been born twice, amen, into the second time the family of God. Amen. You said, do you have a birth certificate? Sure do for the first one, and I sure do for the second one. Just don't ask me to get it this morning. It's over in glory. As a matter of fact, that's where it counts. You said, where would I get it? Out of the courthouse of glory. Amen. You said, where would you find it? You go to the Lamb's Book of Life, and there it is. It's recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. By the way, I wanted you to know, it's got the seal of God upon it. Amen. You know, a birth certificate in this day, if you ain't got a seal on it, ain't no good. Amen. You go get a birth certificate, your child or yourself, and come down there and it had no seal on it. They'll say, I can't accept this. Don't have no seal. Got to have a seal. Amen. Yeah, some of y'all probably experienced that in days past. But I'll tell you what, brother, God goes and looks in the book of life and looks over there in the Lamb's book and He says, yes, sir, right here it is. And it's got the seal of God on it. Amen. And He's also given me something for proof of that. He has sealed me to the day of redemption. And I've got a seal upon my soul. And thank God I've been born twice into the family of God. So I had two births. I said, I don't know about no two births. Don't know about no second birth. Amen. It's time you learned. If all you've got one birth, if all you've got is one birth and one birth certificate, you're lost and undone without God. You've been born in the family place, but you haven't been born in the family of God. Brother, it's a spiritual birth. Nicodemus said, how can I do that? Can I enter my mother's womb and be born the second time? And Jesus said, if you're born in, go back in the womb and born the second time, you're still going to be the same thing that you are. It's still going to be a physical birth. What you need, Nicodemus, is a spiritual birth. And so, it needs to be born twice. I'm glad I've been born twice. Amen. I hope you can shout to the fact this morning you've been born twice. Well, we go a little bit further than that. A saint is somebody that's been born again. Somebody that's been saved by the grace of God. That's what a saint is. But listen, not only is a saint that, but he's somebody that will one day be glorified. Now you're not really looking at me. You're looking at my flesh. You're looking at my body. There's a part of me you cannot see. That's the part that God owns. That's the part that's doing some speaking this morning. Amen. This body without the Spirit cannot speak. One of these days the body will be absent from, amen, this place or from the Spirit. And God will take the Spirit out. It will take us this ascent to heaven. And I praise God for that this morning. Glory be to God. Well, let's look at us. A saint is somebody that was lost in sin in the past. A saint is somebody that is born again and saved by the grace of God right now in the present. And amen, a saint is somebody that is born again and will one day be glorified in eternity. Amen. You think you've seen a lot of things, you wait till you get to the other side and see the real me. Amen. I look in the mirror sometimes and I don't like the looks of it either. Some of y'all sitting back there saying, hey, I don't care too much for him. Well, amen, I don't either sometimes. I shave him every morning and wonder why in the world God would even save a wretch like me. Now, our daily prayer, every time we get up in the morning as a child of God, we ought to have a prayer. You said, what kind of prayer should we have? We should say, Lord, help me to be with a repentant heart and to have a repentant attitude. That means when I see something wrong and been convicted of something wrong with the Scriptures, that I won't wait till tomorrow or next week or next month or next year to get rid of it, but that I'll right then have a repentant attitude and say, God, forgive me of my sin. Some of you haven't asked God to forgive you in ages. That's what's wrong with you. Amen. I have to go around with a repentant attitude and a repentant heart. Amen. I must have that repentant attitude, and you must have that repentant attitude too. Amen? I want you to know this morning, brother, we need to have that repentant attitude. God, give me a repentant attitude and a repentant heart. And then, Lord, give me a receptive heart for the truth of God, Thy Word. Amen. You know, a lot of people can't receive the things of God. We need to receive the things of God this morning. Amen. We need to ask God to give us faith to believe that what He is going to do for us, brother, is real. We need to ask Him to give us an enlightened mind. Turn on the switch in our mind that we might take the Word of God and be able to comprehend the things of the Spirit of God. Amen. Somebody said, how can I know the truth? God's got several ways of giving us the truth. Amen. God guides us by His eyes. Amen. I got to think about that this morning when I was getting ready. And I just said, praise God. The Bible said the eyes of the Lord goes up and down in the earth. Amen. He notices what men do. He sees everything. There's nothing hidden from God. And God guides us by His eyes. Amen. He can see what's going on. And through His providence, He can lead us. Not only that, but God guides us by His hand. There's power in the hand of God. God knows how to guide us here and there and bring us where we need to be. But God guides us through His Word. Every time I read His Word, the Word shows me what I need to do. And He speaks to me. And God guides me through the Spirit. Brother, I can follow the Spirit of God and God can guide me. But basically all I need is the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And I'll never get in trouble. If I listen to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, you'll never have any problems at all in your life. You said, no, no. You know what? Every problem I ever had is when I took my eyes off the Word of God and did not listen to the Spirit of God. Amen. Now that was a little bitty weak. Amen. See, that's a big truth and you didn't catch it. Every time I've taken my eyes off the Word of God, every time I've taken my eyes off the Word of God and did not believe it with all my heart, and every time I did not follow the Spirit of God in me, I got in trouble. Ain't that right? Every time I followed the Word of God, has the Word of God ever led you in the ditch? Has the Word of God ever kept you on track? All the time. Amen. Has the Spirit of God led you in the wrong direction? Will it ever lead you in the wrong direction? Amen. Then don't take your eyes off either one. Brother, you'll be all right. Every child of God this morning says, I got problems here, got problems. It's because you've taken your eyes off the Word of God. What happened to Peter when he took his eyes off the Lord walking on the water? He started to sink. And he needed some help. You know why you need help this morning? You took your eyes off the Lord. And you're not trusting the Spirit of God. Amen and amen. So we need Him to give us that. You said, what else we need to pray for? We need to pray that God will give us a loving heart for the Word of God. We need to pray that God will give us a loving heart for the house of God. We need to pray that God will give us a loving heart for sinners that are on their way to hell, that we'll reach out with an outstretched arm and say, come unto me, all you laboring heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, and show them where Jesus is and point them to Calvary and let the Lord Jesus change their lives completely from the top to the bottom of their soul. He's precious. Amen. Why? Because He saves the uttermost. He's precious. Why? Because He's the Creator. He's precious. Why? Because He's the Savior. He's precious. Why? Because He's the Judge. And not only the Judge, but He's the Justifier of my soul. Amen. No one can justify me. The grace of God. Brother, I like to look at the grace of God. Grace. Amen. Brother, I want you to know God this morning has grace. And His grace is sufficient. The Bible teaches us, brother, about the evergreen tree. You look through the evergreen tree. Brother, it's a good subject to think on. It's a good subject to study on. The evergreen tree. When the leaves are all falling off the trees, as they are now falling off, and brother, in a few more days, all the leaves will be off and the trees will be barren. But the only thing that's going to bring any light and any kind of good-looking attitude or atmosphere around us is the evergreens. Them old evergreen trees in the winter time will be just as pretty as they ever was. Amen. Weather don't bother them. Amen. That's what God's people ought to be. Old evergreens. In the hot summer, in the spring, in the fall, and in the winter. Just as like the evergreen trees still shining forth. Did you know green? Green is the color God gives. Amen. It's the most pleasant color to the eyes. I read over in Revelation 1, chapter 4. The Bible said, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and a voice said, come up hither. John's on the Isle of Patmos. He gets a trip up into glory. And God says, John, I want you to write what you've seen, what you're seeing, and what you're going to see. I want you to give the past, the present, and the future God. I'm giving you a revelation. That's what it said in the book of Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ. So he gets the revelation. There he is. And the Bible said when he steps up before the throne of God, he looks and there's a rainbow round about the throne, like unto an emerald. The color of an emerald is green. Brother, green, I say, is the most pleasant color. You know what the rainbow is in the Word of God? Brother, it's the promise that God made to Noah back yonder. When you see the rainbow, you're going to know, Noah, that it's not going to destroy the earth by flood again. Next time I'll destroy it by fire. Every time you see a rainbow, it's a promise of God, a covenant of God, that He will not destroy the earth by water again. Every time you see, somebody said, it sure is pretty. And it's not green. No, it's not green. Several colors involved in the rainbow. But here there's a rainbow. Rainbow means there's mercy. God said, every time I put a rainbow in the sky, you look up and see that the mercy of God is going to say that the earth will not be destroyed by water again. Now, there's a rainbow around about the throne of God. And John is seeing that. And this is where the saints of God are gathered. Guess what he says? He says, look, brother, there is going to be judgment. Brother, there is going to be a rainbow. There's the mercy of God. There's the promise of God. And brother, we'll stand before God in His mercy. Those who stand before the judgment seat of Christ will have the mercy of God upon them. It's through the blood of Christ that we're there. And it's by the grace of God that we're kept. And it's by the grace of God that we'll be continuing on in the fourth chapter. But now you look a little further in the book of Revelation. And the Bible said over there, after this, and He goes on to tell us, amen. That's after all the tribulation, everything's over. Here's what He says. He said they're going to be called up. Death and hell is going to give up the dead. Amen. They're going to deliver up the dead. And they're going to stand before God, both small and great. And the books are going to be open. Brother, God's going to judge them. But you look at what you will. He calls it a white throne judgment, and there will not be any rainbow of mercy there. And God will judge the lost and say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. That's a judgment of the lost. Brother, there's no mercy. I want you to know there is no promise of mercy at the white throne judgment. They're going to die. Brother, be cast into the pits of hell forever and forever. Matter of fact, let me back up and give you this more theologically. Amen. Hell is not going to be forever. Now, amen. People look at that, and I used to say that, and people, you know, look, what? But I read in the Bible. The Bible said death and hell will deliver up the dead. So hell's going to turn loose its inhabitants. They'll stand before the white throne judgment, and God will cast them that were in hell into the lake of fire where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Hell is just a prison house of the wicked today, and God will pull them out of hell, judge them, and cast them into the lake of fire. Now that's theologically right. Amen. And sometimes we don't mention all that, but I just thought I'd stop and do that this morning. Now listen. He's precious. Brother, He's like the evergreen trees. Amen. When the troubles come and the trials come, brother, I can go to Him. I can flee to Him this morning. Brother, He's like the evergreens. Not only like the evergreens, but He's like the perpetual streams that flow. Have you ever seen what we call the dry weather, streams or the wet weather streams? Summertime comes and guess what? The spring will dry up. How many of you ever had a spring or a well or something to dry up? Amen. But I'll tell you what, Christ is not like that. It dries up. Brother, He's perpetual. He's continual. It's not by time. Brother, He flows constantly and continually. Amen. He's like what I call the rushing waters. He's like what I call the artesian well. Amen. It always gives us some kind of satisfying drink. In the hot days, refreshes us and brings us back and revives us. Nothing to revive you like a good drink of water when you're thirsty. Brother, He is the one that does that. I say He's precious. Amen, He's precious. Well, He bears our every burden. I want you to know He dries up every tear of our heart and of our eyes. He touches our every infirmity. Brother, He soothes our every problem and every care of life. He makes a way of escape from ever sin and ever temptation. Amen. Somebody said, I just couldn't help myself. The devil made me do it. Let me tell you, the Bible said He would not put any more on you than what you was able, but He would with that make a way of escape and you would not have to fall into sin. Don't ever blame God this morning for falling into sin. It's because you took your eyes off God. Brother, He's there every single time to keep you from going down. He's precious. Amen. He's merciful. Amen. He's our merciful and faithful High Priest. Where's He at this morning? Where is Jesus this morning? Think about it. Where is He? He's at the right hand of what? The Father. He's at the right hand of the Father. What's He doing? Making intercession for you and me. He's not only making intercession for you and me, but He's also making reconciliation for you and me. Amen. When I can't pray, He's praying for me. Brother, He's touched with the feelings of my infirmities. Brother, when I get to the place that I can't even pray and I get so burdened and troubled, I can't pray and all I can say is, Abba, Father. In other words, all I can do is moan and groan. There's some times in my life that I prayed and I couldn't pray. Have you ever been to the place that you couldn't get no words? Brother, I've been under the burden of trouble sometimes and all I can do is get down on my knees and I say, oh, amen. Brother, when I say, oh, I want you to know the Holy Spirit of God bears up my prayer before God and He's saying, Father, He's got a problem. And I say, oh, He said, hey, He's got a need. Brother, I'm glad He bears my prayers before Him. And not only that, brother, when I get out of line and get away from God and get cold and indifferent and I get to the place that I don't have the fires of God in my soul again and I'm troubled and I'm in a turmoil and my life's in shambles, looks like it's going to fall apart and I can't do anything else. Thank God, when I cry out to Him, brother, He looks over at the throne of God, the Spirit of God tells Jesus, and Jesus tells the Father, and He said, hey, He needs to be reconciled. He's out of communion. He's out of fellowship. He's repenting. And thank God, He picks me up and puts me back in His bosom, and brother, puts me down there and reconciles me and said, it's all right now. I forgive you. Amen. Amen. He's precious. Would you say He's precious this morning? Amen. Oh, yes. Praise God, He's precious. Well, He's a very present help in the time of my need. He's precious. He is there in all my griefs. He's there in all my sorrows. He's there in all my trials. He's there in all my temptations. He's in all my pressing needs there. He knows my headaches and my heartaches. He's there with my stresses. He's there in all my fears. He's there in all my weaknesses. He's there in all my inabilities. When I can't do it, thank God He's there to help me every single time. He's precious. Amen. We place limitations on God. I don't know whether you knew that or not. God is limited to what He can do for you. You said, I thought He's able to do anything. He is. You said, I believe God can do anything. Amen. There's nothing God could not do. Amen. Except three or four things. You said it didn't say it in the Bible. It did too. You're just reading wrong. God can't lie. God can't die. Amen. God cannot tolerate sin. Amen. But there's no impossibilities to God when it comes to meeting my needs, nor yours. I don't care where I get to. Now, the only thing that limits God is my faith. When my faith is weak and I doubt God, you start doubting God and you don't get nothing done. Amen. A woman got down praying. She said, Lord, You said in Your Bible that if we had faith as a grain of mustard seed, the mountain could be, You could say the mountain be removed, and it'd be removed. So I'm saying, Lord, move the mountain. Amen. And she opened her eyes and looked up and she looked at the mountain and she said, just what I thought. Amen. Didn't get moved. You know why? She had a doubt. Amen. And then I don't believe God's going to answer some things foolishly no how. Amen. You said, preacher, I'm going to go try that out this evening. I think I'll go up here at Unicoi. I'll get down on my knees and said, Lord, move this mountain over about 50 feet. Now, you think God's going to hear that? No. Why? What glory is it going to bring to God? Amen. Amen. Now, brother, if that mountain's in your way, there ain't but one way to go, and God said you're going to go that way, brother, God can move the mountain. I've seen that done practiced. So the Israelites come up to the Red Sea. There's a mountain on the right-hand side. There was a mountain on the left-hand side. Israel was in bondage there, or had just come out of bondage, and Egypt was behind them. Pharaoh and his army was behind them. And in front of them was a big old Red Sea. Now, brother, that hemmed you in. Brother, when you get hemmed in, brother, it's time for God to move. Amen. Some of you got hemmed in this morning, and you're trying to climb mountains. Amen. The rest of you ain't climbing mountains. You've got out your mountain climbing gear. That's not going to do you no good. Rest of you got out your swords, your spears, and your Gatling guns, and you turn around and go and shoot the enemy. When God said, I want you to go through the Red Sea. But now, Lord, I can't swim. I imagine a bunch of them little Israelites could not swim when they went through the Red Sea. Reckon? Amen. Moses didn't tell them down there in Egypt, now get out and practice to make sure you can swim, because we're going to swim the ocean. He said to them Israelites, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And about the time he did, brother old Moses trusted God, and God in heaven, amen, liked what he heard and what liked what he said, and he looked down and God said, and started whistling. Amen. And a strong east wind come out of God's mouth that night, blowed over the top of that water, and he knowed how to put it in a straight line. And the wall of water began to come up on the right-hand side, and the wall of water come up on the left-hand side, and it went down there, and God blowed on the ground of the bottom of the Red Sea, and brother dried up the mud, and brother, the next morning they didn't have any mud to go through. Amen. The next morning he said, step in there, and brother, they went in and went over, got to the other side. Amen. And God's still a-whistling in glory with His wind. Amen. And they went over on the other side, didn't pull mud between their toes, and knocked the dust off their toes and feet. Went on the other side rejoicing that God has destroyed the horse and the rider in the sea, because the east wind stopped blowing and the sea come back down, and they had flat tires on the chariots. Amen. And they drowned in the Red Sea and got on the other side. Hey, don't tell me God can't take you through the ocean. He's precious. You say, well, I don't believe He can. He can't with your attitude. That's why you get up in the morning, Lord, give me faith to believe. That's why we ought to get up and pray, God, give me enlightening of the mind that I can understand. We're so weak in the things of God. Amen. Brother, this is a lot of message and I'm not going to get through with it. Amen. I want you to know this morning that we place limitations on God. Our doubts. Not only our doubts, but our fears. Sometimes we fear what man can do with us and for us and against us. And we don't trust God. But God said it's better what? Amen. It's better to trust God than anything. And He teaches that. He said don't fear man that can only just destroy the body. But just fear God who can destroy both body and soul in hell. So He teaches us that. Brother, He's the rock of our foundation to build upon. He's the rock of our stability to keep us from wavering on. He's the eternal rock of ages. He's the rock of the church that the church has been built upon and which the gates of hell cannot prevail against. He's the rock. He's the rock. Brother, He's precious in creation. He's precious in the mountains we was talking about a while ago. Brother, I tell you what, I look at the mountains and see all that. Isn't it pretty? Amen. A lot of these city slickers are coming up into the mountains. They love to see the mountains this time of year. Amen. They live down there in the city, can't find a tree nowhere. They done dug them up and built streets. So they come up here to see this. That's why I said, ain't the leaves pretty? I said, not in my yard or not. You had to rake as many leaves, get rid of as many leaves out of it. Hey, you'd get tired of it. I'm tired of seeing leaves. Amen. It don't excite me anymore. Look how pretty an orange and how pretty and yellow that is. Hey, I tell you what, I hate leaves when it comes to after picking them up every year. Amen. That's one advantage of living in the city. You don't have to rake leaves. But anyhow, I look at the mountains and I see the mountain lion. And I see, isn't that so pretty, that lion of the mountain? I'm not talking about the lions. Amen. But the lion of the mountain range. See him going from place to place, the peaks from one peak to another peak. And I say, that's beautiful. Isn't that pretty? Amen, it sure is. Brother, I'll tell you, when I see all that, it's pretty. Now look at the valleys. You ever seen the valleys? Some of the valleys are such pretty places. I've seen pictures. Amen, I had a picture come up on the screen. It was one of those screensavers on my computer. Looked at it, and I kept looking at it, and I thought it's so pretty. It had pretty colored leaves. Pretty colored leaves. And some of the trees didn't have none on it. And I said, I wonder if that is a spring picture or a fall picture. I sat there and looked at it for a few minutes and trying to figure out. Amen. Now, it might have been that ever who painted that picture didn't think of it and put it all into play. But I looked at it and I didn't see one leaf falling on the ground. I didn't see none on the ground. I said, hey, these leaves just must have come out. Amen. So I don't know where I got it right or not. But I'll tell you, I looked down through some of the valleys and they're pretty, aren't they? Some of the valleys are pretty. Go down the oceans. The ocean's pretty. Remember the first time I'd ever seen an ocean? I was grown. Amen. We went to Jacksonville, Florida. I'd hated them big old bridges going over. Got on one and they're going to open that big bridge up and I'm scared of heights. Got right up there and they stopped me on that bridge. Of all places, brother, I almost had 3 heart attacks in 3 seconds. And guess what? They opened up the middle of that thing and there it was open right over there. And ships are coming through, and I'm sitting there in a straight ship forward. Sitting on a hill, and I said, Lord, have mercy, as dead as I am, as scared as I am. Brother, when I take off, it's no telling what's going to happen here. I'm liable to roll backwards off of this thing and get off. And I was scared to death. My wife said, look over yonder. And I said, shut your mouth, woman. I'm about dead. That old bridge closed up, and we ran out over. You said, what was you down there for? I went to see the ocean. I've done been married. Amen. Brother, I'll tell you, I didn't know anything much about the ocean. I'd heard about it. And I went flying down through and pulled in at a station. I said, how do you get to the beach? Amen. He said, didn't you see the sign right there? No, I didn't see the sign. He said, you just missed the road. Go right back up there and turn and go that way. And I said, all right. I went over there, pulled down in there, had no place to park. I stopped in the middle of the road on the side, throwed it up and parked. No, I didn't. I put it up in reverse. Amen. And I cut the motor off, run off down there, illegal parked. And I looked at it and I said, whoo, what a place. Got in the car. I said, where's the motel? That's all I wanted to see of the ocean. But I thought it was pretty. You understand? I look at all that. I see the majesty of all that. Amen. I stand out there. You get in the woods sometime, the river off down below you. Ain't it just sound peaceable to hear a river running off down into it? There's water down there somewhere running over them rocks. That is the glory of God, and God's making a good story. Brother, He's telling a good story in the creation. Amen. And you look at all that, what a blessing. Well, you can get in your yard. Amen. And watch the leaves are falling off the trees and the limbs are blowing. And amen, things just taking place. And you said, look at that wind. I don't know where it come from. I don't know where it's going. But I know one thing. It's come from God. And God in His glory. Amen. You can see Him in His creation. Isn't He precious? Yes, sir. But did you know where you're going to see the glory of God the most? You're going to see Him at the cross. You're going to see the Lord at the cross more than any other place. He's great in His majesty in the cross. He sure is. Because the cross reminds us and reveals to us the mind of God. You'll see at the cross what God had on His mind for mankind down through the centuries. Not only at the cross you finally find the mind of God, but at the cross God displays His perfect plan. God, before the ages were ever made, before, as I've always said, the mud seals the earth was ever laid, before God ever made the first thing, He already had a plan. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost had already determined that Jesus Christ would come to this earth and die on the cross of Calvary, and the Spirit of God would present that to you and me. Brother, that is in the mind of God. Brother, God had already made the plan. Jesus said, I go. And the Spirit of God said, I agree. And the Trinity, the Holy Trinity of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost agreed with that. And they said, we're going to go. This is our plan. And on the cross, He displays His perfect plan. How He's going to redeem man. And on the cross, we know what the heart of God is, that God loves sinners. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. But what? Have what kind of life? Amen. Say it again for me. Oh, I love that word, don't you? I don't know too much about everlasting around here. Build a house, and after a while it'll fall apart. Buy a new car, and it falls apart. Amen. Born in the world, and then it falls apart. Here I am, about half around. Amen. Somebody said, how you feel? Half alive. That means I'm half dead, too. But some of you said, I'm half dead. You're on the negative end of this thing. Amen. Thank God I'm still half alive. Amen. Won't the devil know that? Praise God. I'm still alive. Amen. I don't care if I'm just a quarter alive. I'm still alive. I went into a place of business the other day, and a fellow looked at me and said, how you doing? He said, well, I'm still alive. I'm still above ground. And I thought he answered it pretty good. He looked like he's walking pretty good, but hey, sometimes I don't feel like I'm here for long. Amen. Praise God. Now, don't anybody get any bad ideas. I hope I hang around a long time, trouble you for years. Amen. I hope I keep stomping on your toes. You said, preacher, you do that. I don't aim for your toes. I aim for your heart. But maybe one of these days I'll hit right. Some of you got so many calluses and corns on your toes where I've been shooting so many years. And I'm missing. Amen. But maybe one of these days I'll get to the heart where you are. He's precious. Amen. I'm going to stop right there because I can't preach all this out. Hey, just so much that He's precious. I got a precious Savior this morning. He loves me and I love Him. He loves you so much that He came to this earth. See, He's precious as the incarnation when He came here. He's precious in His death on the cross when He died for you. He's precious in His burial. Amen. No man ever died like Jesus did, and for the reason that He did. And then He's precious in His resurrection because He stomped the devil in the head. The greatest bombshell ever went off of the face of the devil is when Jesus rose from the dead. Amen. And He ascended back into heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's precious. Because one of these days the Father's going to look over and say, son, it's time. You know what Jesus is going to do? He's going to step up to the plate. Brother, the trump of God will sound and the dead in Christ are going to rise. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up. And He's coming after you and me who have been redeemed and bought with the price of His blood. Thank God for that this morning. The hope of every Christian. is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I trust that you know the Lord as your personal Savior. If you don't, this will be a good day to give your life to Him. Amen. He's precious. He'll save you. He that cometh to me, He said this, I will in what? No wise cast him out. Amen. He said, He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And the Lord says that He will do that. He'll save you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. There come the instruments. I pray this morning that the Lord has spoken to you. He's precious. Amen. Didn't preach anything new to you. Just preach some same truths that we need to recognize and get a hold of. Thank God this morning He is precious. He's precious. But who's He precious to? Those who believe. He's not precious to those in the world of sin. Amen. They laugh at Him. They make fun at the old-fashioned blood-bought religion way. They say, I don't like that blood religion. I don't like that. He's not precious to them. He's precious to those who believe. Amen. The Word of God is very plain. It teaches us this morning. Let's stand. What's our number this morning?